The Philly stores have security. We don't have that.
Right. I just care about food.
They were, eventually, they were like Colorado.
I care about food.
Hey, everybody. Hey. I'm going to get started pretty soon. Thank you for coming out in this really bad weather. I know it's a struggle out there, but... So, I'm not going to introduce Daryl. He's going to do his own introduction, and so is Tom. They're both here. You're from One People's Project, and Tom is from Philly Nessie. So, I think one of the main reasons why we're going to have this discussion tonight is because we really need to get a lot more organized with our anti-racist actions to understand what white supremacy is as a system, because they are very organized, they are very coordinated, they work together all the time, they're constantly talking to each other, they have a lot of power in our society, and it seems like we are not doing enough to combat white supremacy and racism as far as the left in particular. So I just want to say a little bit about how I met Daryl a few years ago. It's been more than a few years, it's been like maybe 4 or 3 years.
Just before
Occupy started, and I had just started my website, Deep Green Philly, and I was really asking around for like who's a good person to talk to, and people were telling me Daryl has a good website, check it out. And I went on One People's Project and I saw all the stuff that he's doing, and it's really amazing work he does. He really puts so much effort into tracking white supremacist organizations, finding out where they are, what they're up to, what they're doing. And you don't really get paid for this stuff, right? You're doing this out of your own time, right?
Yeah, more or less.
Yeah, and the same with Philly Antifa. I mean, this isn't like a non-profit work. This is work that people do in their own time, just because they realize like what a threat these people pose to our society. And it seems like, I don't want to downplay the gains that we've made actually in our society, because you know, we have made some strides. The civil rights movement has done a lot for people. But it seems like right now we're going backwards on this. I don't know if other people realize this or have that kind of sense that, but it seems that we got to a moment where there was some momentum towards racial equality, sort of. But now, with the police killings, with the mass incarceration, with all the other stuff that's going on that you kind of probably all know about, it seems like we're sliding slowly backwards. So we really have to put a lot more effort into really pushing back against this white supremacist, what would you call it, force, structure?
Bullshit.
So without further ado, Tom, you're going to go first, and then Daryl will go afterward, and then we'll have a discussion.
Thanks, Ron. Thank you, everyone, for coming out in the weather. I will try to make this brief. Daryl's going to be talking a lot more about structural white supremacy and legalized white supremacy. I'm going to be talking about what a lot of people consider to be outliers, but the argument that I'm going to be making tonight is that these people are actually, like Ron was saying, part of a larger white supremacist movement that spans from the most extreme and out there Klansmen and Nazis, all the way to people that would describe themselves as moderates or libertarians, but who inherently hold the same ideas about race and society and civilization. Okay, just a quick introduction on Antifa Philadelphia. We're an anti-fascist group that operates in Philadelphia. We've been around for 3 years, give or take. I'm going to talk a little bit about the stuff that we've done as I talk about the groups that we're working against. But essentially, we pursue an expose, oppose, confront approach to white supremacy. Expose being figure out who are the white supremacists, and most importantly, who are like the leaders of the white supremacist movement, who are the the high value targets. Exposing them to their neighbors, their friends, their employers, their employees, their landlords, or their tenants. Opposing them if they hold any sort of public event. This doesn't necessarily have to be, in our mind, adverse or like a overtly white power event. If a group of white supremacists is getting together to hold like what happened in Illinois a couple years ago, like an economic summit, we feel like that summit needs to be disrupted and we can't allow them to organize. And then confront, meaning that if they're sort of encountered on the street, we deal with them as we see, as best we can. Okay. So getting right into it, the first group I'm going to talk about, one of the most active ones in Philadelphia and then all over the state, is the Keystone State Skinheads. They're also known as KSS. They also go by Keystone United. That was an initiative started around 2008 by them. when they wanted to start bringing people that didn't necessarily identify as skinheads, or were trying to kind of shed the skinhead image. That didn't really work out because of a lot of their collective histories of violence. So now they sort of oscillate between the two names, depending on what they're doing, what kind of event they're holding, and what kind of presentation they're trying to make. One major event that KSS has been organizing regularly is the Leif Erikson Day demonstration, I should call it. Ostensibly, it's a celebration of Leif Erikson Day. He was a Nordic explorer who was the first white guy to discover America. But in reality, they were trying to establish a public presence and also discourage anti-racist and anti-fascist for when they attempted future events. Give them an inch, it'll take a mile approach. So it started off as a smaller event, and then after about 2 or 3 years, they were drawing upwards of 70 or 80 boneheads from all over the country. But fortunately, 2 years ago, we gathered about 200 people to oppose them, and were able to really disrupt their event, and they, felt pretty defeated. And so last year, they did hold it, but they held it 3 weeks after the holiday in private. So we didn't organize an opposition, but we consider that to be, at least half a victory that they had to, could not pursue that strategy of establishing a public presence, and instead had to focus on, anonymity and protecting their safety. Mm. All right, some members of KSS that I think are worth noting. One of them, I don't have a great picture of him, unfortunately, here, but there's one in this next one. This gentleman in the bottom left picture wearing the shirt that says European Pride with the bald head. That guy's name is Steve Smith, and he's actually a GOP councilman in Luzerne County in PA. He was elected to that position by a single write-in ballot, I'm guessing by him. But nevertheless, it was to white supremacists, on the internet, a huge electoral victory, something to be celebrated and pursued. So that's just an avenue, that they might pursue in the future. But Steve Smith is a figurehead of KSS. He is a main spokesman of them. He's really fond of trying to get on television, getting his letters to the editor in newspapers. And this speaks to a strategy being pursued by a lot of white supremacists, which is trying to infiltrate any kind of position of power they can. And Ron spoke to this. Unlike people on the left or anti-racist or anti-fascist or anarchist, fascists do not have to not be hypocrites, to get what they want. We, as a group, would not be willing to sacrifice, or work with people that we, hated to, just in the pursuit of power. But that's something that Nazis are very willing to do. Another, group that I want to talk a little about is the Be Active Fund, which is an offshoot of the Keystone State Skinheads. This is an initiative they're putting forward in the past 2 years. And this is actually something that European Nazis caught on to earlier when they tried to co-opt imagery from the Autonome and squatter movements in Europe and try to push it, towards a white nationalist or white revolutionary perspective. So essentially what the Active Front does is they do graffiti, they have a Tumblr, and they have a lot of social media presence, but their message is essentially let's all be active, let's get out there, and let's declare war on the modern world and embrace our folk and white power. So they kind of bring people in by using our aesthetic with graffiti, and if you look at their art, it's very much inspired by anarchists, and you'll see people they've even taken the AFA layered flags and co-opted that. People wearing black masks, throwing Molotovs, all that stuff. So that's with KSS, they're pursuing a lot of different avenues of strategy right now because the group has been on decline the past 3 years, fortunately. Another person I want to talk about is this gentleman in the upper left. That's Anthony James Olson. He's the Philadelphia director of KSS. He lives on North Street up in Tacony. He's pretty much been the driving force between KSS in the past 3 years in Philadelphia. He's the one who's been organizing Leif Erikson Days. He's the one behind the Active Front as an initiative. When a KSS affiliate sexually assaulted a woman in North Philly and then died fleeing the scene in September, Philly Antifa organized a demonstration called the March Against Rapists and Racists in North Philly. And in the lead up, we outed a lot of local white supremacists that were living in the area around where Vincent Pellegrino, the dead rapist, was living, and his brother turned out to be a full KSS member, et cetera, et cetera. So anyway, flash forward to the day of, and this picture here is a group of neo-Nazis and also family members of Vincent Pellegrino, who came out to protest us, and they harassed and threatened people, you know, sort of harangued us, and then created such a problem that we weren't able to pursue our march because the police said it was a safety issue and they wouldn't let us march. We didn't have a permit. So anyway, another guy over here is Joseph Hosch. He runs an industrial window cleaning company called Pure Windows Pro. He is living in Philadelphia. His co-owner lives in Abington, which is right outside of Philly. One other thing I want to talk about was there was a KSS affiliated band called Norsewind that was supposed to play the Philly Pagan Pride Fest last year. Fortunately, people found out about it ahead of time, and you know, a couple different people got involved, and we were able to get them kicked off the bill. But that's just like their approach right now is not to try to intimidate people outwardly. Their approach is to try to lower people's defenses around them and to try to infiltrate into people's lives and into scenes that aren't necessarily traditionally white supremacist scenes. You know, a lot of them don't identify as Christian, identify with pre-Christian European faiths, like Asatru, which is like the Viking faith, or you know, heathenism. Mm. So something like the Pagan Fest was a natural draw for them. Mm. All right. European American Action Coalition, Be Active Front. I talked about Be Active Front a little bit. You can see up here in the upper right, they have this graffiti that says, "Fuck Capitalism." And then if you look right above it, it says NSHC, which stands for National Socialist Hardcore. So here you are co-opting graffiti, you're co-opting hardcore music, and you're trying to push it towards an EMS agenda. They also talk a lot about Stop White Flight. You can see they took the layered flags, that's traditionally any fascist symbol, and are trying to co-opt it. This is from an event where they went out to the Oxford Ballet Mall, and were handing out white power CDs to kids. And then here in the upper left, that's the European American Action Coalition. That's another group started by Steve Smith that's supposed to be like a, you know, real moderate, you know, just like anti-immigrant group, who participated in the overpasses across America anti-immigration demonstrations that happened a few months ago. That was out in like Moosaic and in rural PA. All right, just briefly, there is a KKK chapter in Philadelphia. Near as we can tell, it is only one person. And so a guy named William Walters, that man in the top picture there, who was a member of the Tacoma...
He might have died.
Oh, good. Okay. Well, assuming he's alive.
I just found out myself.
Okay, well, that's probably the news. But anyway, William Walters was a member of the Tacoma Town Watch for several years before people found out that he was a Klansman. And once he was found out, which I believe he was found out because he was distributing Klan literature while on Tacoma Town Watch, like, I don't know what they do, like walking around neighborhoods, what's it called, patrol. So anyway, when he got kicked out, he put out a call for, I guess, solidarity on the internet, and a group of Klansmen, about 6 or 8 of them, held a rally in Tacony. I guess this was over the summer, August, June, yeah. And we organized a demonstration against it. And since then, his activity's been pretty non-existent, maybe because he's dead. But he was doing Klan literature drops, and so that's somebody that we've been monitoring, and somebody that we also included, because he, again, lives up in the Tacony area, not far at all, from where the other Nazis were living. Somebody we included on our outings in the lead-up to the March Against Rapists and Racists. All right, Mousetrap Distributions is not a group, but I feel like it's worth mentioning. This is, I believe, the most prolific distributor of white power propaganda music in the United States ever. That's a man named Stephen Wigand. And he lives across the Ben Franklin Bridge in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. Wigand has been running Mousetrap Distributions for over 20 years, distributing just anything white power, National Socialist. He has literature, music, clothing. He doesn't just distribute it, he records and produces white power bands. He himself is a white power musician. I'm not sure what bands he's been in, if we had heard of any of them. But Wigand organized a white power show in Philadelphia that was supposed to take place on January 10th at an Outlaws motorcycle clubhouse. Fortunately, people found out about it ahead of time, and I guess there was enough buzz around it that the word is that Nutter's office called the Outlaws directly and asked them to cancel it for fear of safety concerns. But anyway, since then, we've outed Wigand, and we are trying to shut down Mousetrap for good. He may himself have never physically hurt anyone, but I can't, like, the amount of damage that that, you know, sending that stuff to kids has done for the past 20 years is pretty incalculable. And he also, you know, has been a bonehead for 25 years. He was, you know, hanging around with the Atlantic City skinheads and a group called the, I don't know, some short-lived bonehead crew. All right, moving on.
Oh, just to point out, does everyone know what bonehead means?
A bonehead is a neo-Nazi skinhead.
There are other types of skinheads.
Yeah, there's different types of skinheads. Most of them are not racist. So when I say bonehead, I'm, you know, saying they identify as skinheads, but I would not call them a skinhead. All right. Useless Drunk Productions is another, not a group, but something I think worth mentioning. It's run by a guy named Schlack. His real name is like Martin Jason Schachtier. And he books shows in Philadelphia, PA, also around PA and New Jersey, and in New York City. In April, there's a festival coming up called Infest 3 at Voltage. None of the bands on the bill are white power bands, as far as I know, from my research. But Schlack himself, you can see him zigzagging there, has been hanging around with ACS. It's not sure. I originally believed he was a member. Now I'm not 100% sure that he was ever a full member. But his band called the Paramedics played a benefit show for an ACS member named Christopher Arland a few years ago. So he's been a bonehead for a long time, but because he has taken this a page out of KSS's book by, you know, stepping back from that overt white supremacist language, he's been able to be pretty much unopposed in the Philly scene, except for, you know, we tell people about it, but there doesn't seem to be a lot of reaction. So here you see Schlack again, and everybody else in that picture is a member of the Atlantic City Skinheads. Christopher Ising is in jail right now for a 2011 hate crime attack against two Middle Eastern men in New Jersey. Owen Carr in the blue jacket in the back died recently, but I think he had like three or four domestic violence arrests. That guy wearing the screwdriver shirt is Christopher Arlen, the guy the benefit was for, who was just like the worst, most racist poster I've ever seen on Stormfront. Like, seriously, this guy takes the cake. And then that's Scott Hudson sitting next to, on the other side of Schlack, who's a member of Aggravated Assault, which was the band, that was supposed to play in Philly.
Does anyone know what Stormfront is?
Stormfront is the world's largest white power message board. It has hundreds of thousands of members. It's pretty much a clearinghouse for all things Nazi. I'm sorry for using so much confusing language. All right. Okay, so the Atlantic City Skinheads have been around for over 20 years. They have an incredibly violent history, but they have avoided political activity, overt political activity. The last thing I remember them being linked to in terms of like a political demonstration was in like 93 or 94. They participated in a Klan rally in Virginia Beach. But since then, primarily, they like to operate in punk and hardcore scenes. They put on shows, they perform in white power bands, but they also will mingle in biker scenes or non-racist punk and hardcore scenes. You're going to see them for sure, or I'm sorry, it just passed, but they were for sure at the tattoo convention. They're there every year. Schlack has a table set up every year. Schlack also tattoos at, I don't remember the name of it, something Vulture up in Fishtown.
No, he's not.
He's not
of it? I don't think he's at Hot Rod in there.
No, it's not Hot Rod, it's something Vulture. But anyway, so they're not politically active, but they are incredibly violent. They have several members are in jail for murder, usually for hate crimes. So they're somebody to be on the lookout for, and also I don't think has any business, recruiting out of the Philly punk and hardcore scenes. All right, just briefly, some other groups that are sort of in the mix that are not necessarily in Philadelphia. Blood and Honor is actually an international group, but there's a Blood and Honor USA, which is the national affiliate. And their goal is basically to be the umbrella that all other neo-Nazi skinhead groups fall under. So you might see people repping Blood and Honor, and they're definitely out-and-out Nazis. That is the symbol of
Laurels
in front of the red, white, and blue flag is for the Midlander Social Club. They are originally out of Indiana, but have chapters around the country, and they have strong ties with KSS. They've come out to the Leif Erikson Day events, and there's like a fair amount of dual membership there. And then finally, New Nation Productions and Peace Metal Productions. This is something that came to our attention recently, and I think is really interesting. New Nations Production is an outwardly white power, neo-Nazi, booking distro that is putting on shows in PA, benefits for neo-Nazis, etc. And then Piecemeal Productions is ostensibly totally non-political, totally non-racist booking agency, but they are in fact run by the same people. And so, just going back to what people have been saying, or what I've been saying, is these groups will lie, so that is a lot of what we do, is separating, the lies from the truth, figuring out the connections between these groups. And I think that part of the reason why we haven't seen an end of, what Ron was saying, we've made so many gains socially, but we haven't seen an end of these, neo-Nazi skinhead and Klan groups, is because we're not pursuing an effective strategy. I feel that this is truly a social disease, and it will involve severing familial ties in some cases, and that's not something that a lot of white people are willing to admit. These guys don't exist in a vacuum. They have families that protect them. We saw that at the March Against Rapists and Racists when, Vincent Pellegrino, the dead man's family, said that they weren't racist, they weren't white supremacists, they were out here because we were, smearing his good name. But when the chips were down, they weren't willing to take a step back and think about, whether this person deserved this attention, or whether the people that they were standing on the side of the street with, what their incentive was, what their involvement was in this. And even when they were, we informed them that they were standing there with KSS, they still chose to side with them over us. So, I think that if we're gonna ever, see them sort of removed from the public debate, as they're trying to constantly assert themselves from, we're gonna have to pursue, a different kind of conflict with them. Anyway, that's about it for me. I'm gonna turn it over to Daryl now. Thank you.
I want to thank everybody for coming out. I did not, after this weather, expected this place to be packed like this. I'm coming up from Jersey because that's where I'm at these days. And I wasn't sure if I was going to make it down, but being the trooper that I am, I figured I may as well. But I want to thank Tom for starting it off because basically he touched on a lot of things that a nice little foundation for what it is that we've been dealing with here in Philly. One of the good things to say about the particular Nazis in Philly is that they're scared of us. That's why they did the Lee Berenson rally incognito this year, because they don't want to deal with us. And that says that we have something to be afraid of. And we have to basically just keep the pressure on them and keep the pressure on others that are also trying to get themselves through the door, so to speak. Are y'all familiar with the name Steve Scalise? How many? Okay. And the controversy that surrounded him. With him being, okay. For those who don't know, Steve Scalise is a congressman out of Louisiana. And he is also now the House Majority Whip. There was a bit of controversy because someone went on to Stormfront. Stormfront, I should point out, is basically a discussion board, but it's a discussion board that has been around for years, and almost every post is still there, which means whatever didn't matter 20 years ago matters now. And somebody mentioned on a Stormfront post back in 2002 or 2003 that Steve Scalise was at a meeting speaking at a conference sponsored by an organization that David Duke founded. And then people started looking into his history, and he has even said in his own words, "I am David Duke without the baggage." They just made him House Majority Leader.
Who is David Duke for people who don't know?
David Duke is a former Grand Wizard of the Ku Klux Klan. He also was a representative in Louisiana State Legislature. And that was what made him a household name to folks. So he is, when people talk about white supremacy in this day and age, the first name that will come to mind is David Duke. And when you hear that name, you're supposed to be running in the opposite direction. Steve Scalise, on the other hand, went straight to him at a time that he thought that it did not matter. Incidentally, another person that was at that conference, because I remember that conference and it was a big deal, Steve Smith. who Tom just mentioned. He was there. He was one of David Duke's reps at the time. So, I mean, that's the kind of connections that, I mean, that's the kind of connections that we have in this day and age, what kind of people we have to deal with. I'm going to there's this thing called the Conservative Political Action Conference next week. And that is basically when every right winger that you hated in life get together and just mull over things. You got tens of thousands of people coming to this ritzy ass hotel down in DC to schmooze with congressmen, senators, and other activists. And they're all on the right, and they're all just trying to bounce off how far right can you go. And I'm going there next week because every time I go there, I find Nazis. All the time. And sure enough, there is going to be a Nazi conference happening at the same time CPAC is taking place. It's going to be at the National Press Club on Friday. And a lot of people have been trying to get the word out about that, but trying to let the National Press Club know what they have on their hands. But I also know that they're going to be a part of CPAC. And one of the things to put into perspective on that one is the folks that are putting together the White Supremacist Conference at the Press Club are folks who would normally go to CPAC. These are folks who used to work in the Beltway. White supremacists who worked in the Beltway. Richard Spencer is the head of the National Policy Institute. He was a policy wonk for a long time, and he would always bring in people ranging from Ron Paul to whatever pundit is in D.C. They work the Beltway. And it's been so bad that for the past 4 or 5 years, the people that I had been dealing with when it comes to the Nazi circuit were folks in D.C. They got that nice little cluster that surrounds itself around an old-time white supremacist that was in the mainstream named Pat Buchanan. And it is from his loins that all of this has sprung. Sorry for that visual.
Could you explain for people that don't know the Southern Poverty Law Center? You mentioned that.
Yes, and one of the things, Southern Poverty Law Center, founded back in the 70s, is an organization that monitors right-wing groups and individuals. And they have a nice little database going back 40, 50 years. On all of these groups, whether they are your hardcore Klansmen, Nazis, these new things called the sovereign citizens, which is kind of like Nazi light. You see them often basically painting themselves as libertarians, and they don't consider basically the federal government to be fraudulent, and they do not recognize their authority or what have you. And they are causing, and I'm going to tell you, a lot of them come out of the whole white power scene too. They're an interesting bunch. Basically, if you know anything about the militia movements, there's your sovereign citizens right there. And they're definitely a group to be on the lookout for, particularly since they had a tent over in Occupy. So, I mean.
Occupy Philly, you mean?
Yeah, Occupy Philly. Well, being that we're in Philly.
So, yeah, no, I just, you know, people.
Oh, they tried Occupy Wall Street and Occupy Seattle and got kicked to the curb. Chicago, too. We let them have a tent. Then we eventually stole all their stuff and took a shit in, but that's not true. It happened, I'm just saying.
We took a shit?
Somebody did. It wasn't me. But no, but that's one of the things that we have to be on the lookout for. And going back, here's something that is probably going to freak a lot of people out. We were talking earlier about the bands, the concerts, and them trying to get involved into, like, you know, underground youth culture scene. You leave Philly, you go up to New York, and you can see how bad that gets. In September, there was a concert. There's several concerts that were being put on over the summer by a production company called Knuckleheads, with a Z at the end. Knuckleheads Productions. It's run by a guy, they call him Dennis Fed Up, because he was in a band called Fed Up. And they are basically adopting the whole rock against communism banner that Screwdriver, the white power band Screwdriver came up with back in 1978, and they're pushing a lot of your far right to the straight up Nazi bands to play some of the clubs in New York. Now, 20 years ago, that wasn't a flown. And now it's being allowed. Why? Because a lot of these neo-Nazis that we're dealing with, and I will say it, a lot of these neo-Nazis, a lot of these fascists that we're dealing with in New York are coming in brown. We see a lot of Hispanic people wearing the the German Totenkopf tattoos that come from the Nazi Germany days. You see them wearing 88 tattoos. They see Heiling in some of their pictures. And there's even Jewish people that are getting involved. And it's a nice little cover for another group of people. They'll call themselves the National Anarchists.